We're doing Igeres Rav Shiragon. We're retracting a little bit to the beginning of the topic about how Rebbe compiled the Mishnah. And we had seen that Rebbe had learnt by different Rabbim. Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who compiled the Mishnah. And Rav Shiragon had told us that initially none of the oral law was written. But they passed it down. Each one would summarize the oral law to his students in their own version, using no specific text. But you'd learn by a rabbi for many, many years, and you'd know, you'd learn the oral law. He asks someone, what blessing do you make on a peanut? So I'll tell you, well, all nuts are ha'etz, except for a peanut. That's a adama. So once you learn it, you know it. You don't have to learn it with a specific form. You know it. You learned it. You ask a person, what blessing do you make on a drink? So a person will tell you, all drinks are shehako, except for grape juice. That's going to be borei priagafen, grape juice, wine. So you don't need a specific specific format in order to know the oral law. But that's good when you could study by a rabbi for many, many, many years and get it all down pat. What happened was, we had seen that the period towards the end of the Second Temple, the Second Beis Hamikdash, that was a period when the Romans started persecuting us, and our own kings were from the Hasmonean kingdoms, and they were persecuting us. You had Yanai HaMelech, who killed out all the rabbis, and he was our king. So the period was a period of turmoil, and the disciples of Hillel and Shammai could not study the way their predecessors had. And so we had a situation where the tradition was getting lost a little bit. The rabbis couldn't maintain the study that they had until now. They couldn't maintain open academies for people to learn at. Sometimes the learning had to be done in hiding. We had a point in our history where only 5 rabbis had smicha. There were only 5 people who got the smicha, as we had seen last semester. And now Rebbe had a special relationship with the Roman Emperor, with Antoninus, and Rebbe took advantage of that and gathered the rabbis to his academy, and he took advantage of the power that Antoninus had given him, and together they sat down and worked out the oral tradition until they boiled it down to 13 different versions of the oral tradition. And even though these 13 versions all boiled down to the same laws, Rebbe had to work out from these 13 versions, he took the best, as we are going to see. And what we're going to learn now is the Gemara in Nedarim, from which we know that it boiled down to 13 versions. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara begins by discussing the curses that the Torah says if we don't keep the Torah, we'll end up, the Torah says that God will exile naked, lacking everything. Beiromu v'chosar kol, lacking everything. So the Gemara says, what does the verse refer to? And the verse says that the people will be exiled lacking everything. So b'chosar kol, amar Rabbi Ami, amar Rav, Rabbi Ami said in the name of Rav, b'lo neru v'lo shulchan. They won't have a candle, they won't have a table to eat on, they'll have to eat on the floor without anything. Rav Chista said, Beloisha, they'll be exiled, they won't even be able to maintain their families, they'll be exiled as bachelors, not literally bachelors, but without their wives. I don't know if it means that the wives were exiled separately, that their wives and they were sold into slavery, so they weren't with their wives, or their wives were killed out during the war. I don't know which one it means. Rav Sheshet Amar, and by the way, it's worth noting that Rav Sheshet, who's quoted often in the Gemara, was blind. And we'll see the relevance of that a little bit later. Rav Sheshet said, Belo Shemesh, without sunlight, or Belo Shamash, without a helper. Rav Nachman Amar Belo Deha. Rav Nachman says, it means they'll be exiled and there'll be such turmoil that they won't have the basic knowledge that people have. Sometimes when people are rushing about, they lose it. They're not following what's going on, and things that ordinarily mistakes people wouldn't make, but when people are under pressure and they're being chased out of their homes, so people make mistakes. Tana. So we have a Tana quote that lacking everything means below melach u'below chavav. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says the following. Nektinan, we hold on to the following. En ani ela bedea. The only type of poverty that exists in the world is people who are poor in knowledge, people who are lacking. If a person is stupid, that's a poor person. The only poverty there could be is an intellect. The Ma'arav Amri in the West, and when we're reading the Babylonian Talmud and they refer to the West, they're referring to Israel, right? Israel is west of Babylon. So Babylon is Iraq. And so in the West, in Israel, they used to say, Didabe, whoever has this, meaning whoever has knowledge, Kulabe, he's got everything. Dilodabe, whoever doesn't have this knowledge, Mabe, what does he have? So if you got this, you got everything. You don't got this, what you got? That's what that's the saying that people used to say in Israel. Dakani, if you've acquired this, machaser, what are you lacking? Da lokani, if you haven't acquired this, makani, what have you attained? Amar Rav Alexandri, Amar Chia Bar Abba. Rav Alexandri quoted Rav Chia Bar Abba. En achole, and now the Gemara has begun by discussing what the people will be lacking when they're exiled. And now the Gemara goes over to discuss what a person loses or gains when he gets ill. And this is going to lead us to the discussion of Rebbe. Rav Alexandri quoted in the name of Rav Chia Bar Abba. En achole umed mecholyo ad shemecholino al kol avonotav. A person who is ill, seriously ill, if he makes it and he recuperates, so they forgive him all of his sins, as the verse states, God is described as the one who forgives and the one that heals. And the fact that the Pasuk puts them together indicates that when God heals, then part of the healing process is that a person gets forgiven. Rav Amnuna amar, chozer limei alumav. Rav Amnuna says it's as though a person becomes young again, as the verse states, utfash psaro. Mino. Okay, you guys don't have the full pasuk. The pasuk says that a person has his flesh lost until he ends up coming back to the days of his youth. And this is, now we're getting to the Gemara that we really need now. The verse states in Tehillim, Kol mishkavo afachta becholyo. When the person's ill, God, so to speak, turns over his bed on him. The guy is finished. He can't stand up. He can't contain himself. Amar Rav Yosef. And now we're quoting Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is quoted throughout the Shas. He was the Rebbe of Abaye and Rava. And Rav Yosef was also blind. Rav Yosef couldn't see. Now, it's amazing as we go through the Talmud how often Rav Yosef shows up. And Rav Yosef was the head of the academy. He was the Rosh Yeshiva. That's how far he made it. And Rav Yosef was called Rav Tvot Berkoach Shor. He was called like the ox, because Yosef is blessed when his father Jacob blesses him, he blesses him like the ox. And Rav Yosef knew all the Tanakh quotes by heart. You know, blind people very often have a good memory. Rav Yosef had an amazing memory. He knew Tanakh quotes like no one else did. So, Rav Sheshet was another blind Amora. We have two. So now Rav Yosef says, so the Gemara tells us like this. Rav Yosef chalash. Rav Yosef became ill. Iyaker leit limude. He lost his learning. He became ill and he forgot it all. Ahada Rabaye Kame. So his disciple, Abaye, you can search throughout the Shas, and there's hardly a single daf in the whole Gemara where Abaye doesn't show up. Abaye shows up in almost every daf in Shas. So Abaye, his student, he learned by Rav Yosef. Now when his Rebbe became ill, and he lost it all, he taught it back to him. So the student teaches the Rebbe. Yeah?
I was reading the Maharal saying that if you lose your Torah
that's a different Gemara. That person is owed honor. If a person loses his Torah because he's got, God forbid, Alzheimer's or something else, so then we say that he deserves just as much honor as if he had retained it all.
Oh, it doesn't mean like.
But he doesn't know it. He didn't know it. He got better. So his student Abaye taught it all back to him. Hainu, and that's why the Bechol Duchta Amrinan, in many places throughout the Shas, we encounter situations. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Lo shmi ali hadash maita. Never heard of this. The Gemara says something, and Rav Yosef says, I never heard of this. Amar Abaye, and his disciple tells him, Abaye tells him, Atam ritani alan, you taught it to us. So the Gemara explains, why do we encounter this throughout Shas? Because Rav Yosef at some point became ill and lost everything. And then Abaye would teach it all back to him. And sometimes you have situations, and it occurs often in Shas, that the Gemara says something, and Rav Yosef says, never heard of that, and Abaye tells him, you taught that. And Rabbi Abaye will tell him, you know what? You taught it to us from the following Tanakh source.
That's what that is?
That's what's going on.
Says Rabbi, like, I remember learning, it says, like, Rabbi, didn't you teach us?
Yeah, so with regard to Rav Yosef, that's what's happening. With regard to Rav Yosef was ill, he forgot everything he learned, and Abaye taught it back to him. And sometimes you have often in Shas situations, happens many times. No, Abaye proves it to him. He tells him, and you proved it to us from the following Tanakh source. So the Gemara here explains why that happened. Ki hava gami Rebbe itlat asrei ape hilchata. Rebbe memorized 13 versions of Shas Mishnayos. That's what we need. That's why we quoted this whole Gemara. I just figured the rest is important to know also. So whenever we quote Gemaras in this setting, I try to quote more of the Gemara, because very often these Gemaras have a prelude that's very important. So when Rebbe learned and he was preparing to compile the Mishnayos, he boiled it down to 13 different versions. Agmerei l'Rebbe Chiya. So Rebbe had a disciple who was also tremendous, and he was Rebbe Chiya. And Rebbe taught Rebbe Chiya all 13. He started teaching him the 13 versions. He managed to teach him 7. Agmerei l'Rebbe Chiya sheva minhon. He taught him 7 versions of the Shas. So Rebbe Chiya has memorized 7. And then the Sof Chalash Rebbe. And by the time he's got 7 down, Rebbe got sick. Rebbe forgot it all. Rebbe gets better, and he doesn't know. He's confusing things. He doesn't have it right.
But this is someone else?
No. We switched. We discussed Rebbe Yosef, now we went back a few generations to Rebbe, the one who compiled the Mishnah. So Rebbe worked for years and managed to get 13 versions of the Shas down pat. Started teaching them to his top disciple, Rebbe Chiya, managed to teach him 7, and then got sick. And during the illness, he forgot all 13. And when he came back to Beis Medrash, he was getting everything confused. So Rebbe Chiya sat down with his Rebbe, and taught him back the 7 that Rebbe had taught him.
But we don't let some forget something we know so.
Oh, so wait. We'll see.
Why
did God do it this way? That's a long discussion which we won't have today. Shita Azdu, 6 were lost. So after all that hard work, Rebbe had Rebbe Chiya teach him back 7, and now they're in a state where they didn't know where to get the other 6 from. 6 are lost. 6 versions of the Mishnah. Hava hahu katsa. There was a person who his job was to do the laundry. He'd sit on the side and he'd be washing the laundry. Havishmiya lil Rebbe kadav garis lehu. When Rebbe used to walk back and forth and review the 13 versions, so this launderer would listen, and he wasn't a rabbi, but he could memorize things. So as Rebbe was going back and forth, reviewing the 13 versions of the Mishnah, this guy who was the launderer, which was a very menial job back then, it's like a garbage collector today, he would listen, and he memorized it too. Azal Rav Chiya v'gamar yaton kamei katsa. So Rav Chiya went to the launderer and he said, hey, could you teach me the other 6? And he did. So Rav Chiya got the other 6 that were lost from this launderer. Ve'ata ve'ahado yaton kamei Rebbe. And he came back and taught the other 6 to Rebbe. Kadavechazi le'Rebbe la'u katsa. When Rebbe would see this launderer, Rebbe would say, ata asitoti ve. You made me in Chiyah. You made us. Not for you, we wouldn't be where we are today. Others say that he'd say like this: Ata asita et Chiyah, you made Chiyah, the Chiyah sauti, and Chiyah made me. So the Gemara is quoting this as an offshoot of the discussion the Gemara had: what happened when the Jews were exiled, and what happens when a person gets ill. One of the things that can happen, he can't review like he had reviewed until then. We're talking about a period in time where the Torah wasn't written, the oral law. Rebbe gets ill, he can't review like he had until now, he has to rest, and he pays the price. Comes back to yeshiva, he's lost it all. Thank God he has a disciple who could teach it back to him. And from his disciple, from Rav Chiya, he learns back 7 versions, the six that were lost, they get back from a launderer who learned it by heart. And here we see another point. Sometimes the Gemara quotes a Tana. And we're accustomed to thinking Tana is a rabbi who lived in the Tanakh period. And it's not so. The word Tana means one who quotes Mishnayos. And sometimes they weren't learned people, they just had a good memory. Sometimes they'd have someone sitting in the base medrash, and he was like the tape recorder, he had a good memory. And the Gemara quotes him, and the rabbi would tell him, no, don't say it that way, that's not a good quote. You have to alter your version. So the Tana, when the Gemara quotes a Tana, sometimes all it means is a person who had a good memory. So there you see this launderer, he wasn't the rabbi. What? You see from the context in the Gemara, you could see. That when the Gemara quotes a Tana, very often it's just one who had a good memory.
What years?
What do you mean, what years? No, in the period of the Gemara. So the temple was destroyed, we'll say, 70 CE. 70 in the common era. Rebbe was in charge after the destruction of the temple. The Mishnah was compiled after the destruction of the temple. So exact years we're still going to have to discuss.
The Tana could also be the next 400 years?
Correct. Tana was also during the period of the Gemara. During the period of the Gemara, they had someone sitting before them quoting Mishnahs. That's something that we're going to have to discuss. When Rebbe compiled the Mishnah, there's a large discussion, was it written? Or was it just one version that was memorized? What did Rebbe do? And this, not everyone agrees on this. Some say it was written, some say it wasn't. But we're not yet holding there. So when Rebbe saw that there are all these versions and the rabbis are learning them, even though you end up with the same bottom line, Rebbe said, we have to narrow down to one.
So after all this, they still call him the Lunder?
Yeah.
Wow.
And because Rebbe saw that there were so many differences in the versions that the rabbis were quoting, and even though the bottom line was the same, he was concerned that it shouldn't end up a situation where they'd lose from the fact that they had all these different versions, because he saw that people's ability to grasp was lessening. And the concept that we have, itmatu adorot, that as generations go on, we get further from Sinai, and we get lower and lower, our spiritual level goes down. Umistalek sar Torah, and here Rav Shriagon uses a term which needs definition. He says the master of Torah was being removed. And this is a term that's used in Maseches Kala, and it seems to be an angel that he is responsible for helping us learn Torah. And as the Jews, the level of the Jewish people was going down, this angel, so to speak, was getting removed from us, was getting more distant from us. And as we say, and this is the next quote that we're going to learn, a discussion of how we compare to the earlier generations. And this is a Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Gemara says, just a second. Towards the top. So those of you who come to our Shabbos morning session, we studied this in our Rao's introduction to Be'er HaGola. The Gemara begins like this. Rabbi Yochanan, who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud, not to be confused with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a Tana who lived exactly during the period of the destruction of the temple. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is one that instituted many things that we have today, like shaking lulav and esrog 7 days, that we do today. That's rabbinic. That was his institution when the temple was destroyed. He instituted many things, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now we're not talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We're talking about a few hundred years later. We're talking about Rabbi Yochanan, who lived during the time after the destruction, a few hundred years later, and compiled the Jerusalem Talmud approximately 70 years before the Babylonian Talmud was compiled. Amar Rabbi Yochanan.
Sure.
Pass me the Gemara. Find it. Towards the top. Okay, third wide line.
Right.
Amar Rabbi Yochanan. 18 yamim gadalti etzel Rabbi Yoshaya beribi. For 18 days, I was by Rabbi Yoshaya beribi. And when the term beribi is used, it's to connote greatness. It means the great rabbi, the grand rabbi Rabbi Yoshaya. So I spent 18 days trying to get some learning done there. Velo lamati memeno ledavar chad mishnatenu. In our Mishnah, in Shas Mishnah, I only learned one thing. I spent 18 days there. And in our Shas Mishnah, I only got one thing from him. And that is the Gemara begins this Gemara with a discussion. Is the correct version in our Mishnah with an Aleph or an Ayin? The Mishnah begins Ketzad Me'abrin. And the question is it Ketzad Me'abrin, like a Sfaradi would say, or Ketzad Me'abrin? Is it with an Aleph or an Ayin? So he says, the only thing I got from the 18 days I tried to learn by this grand rabbi in our Mishnah, the only thing I got is that the correct version is with an Aleph, not with an Ayin in this Mishnah. Ainis, the Gemara asks, how could that be? Rabbi Yochanan himself said, 12 talmidim yulu al Rabbi Yoshaya beribi, 18 yamim gadati b'neinu, lamati lev kol echad v'echad v'chokhmat kol echad v'echad. Rabbi Yochanan himself said, there were 12 students to Rabbi Yoshaya, the grand rabbi, and I spent 18 days growing between them, and I was able to, at the end of the 18 days, I mastered all 12 students. I knew each one's wisdom and each one's depth. So the Gemara says, yeah, he knew their wisdom and their depth. That he knew, but he himself didn't learn anything. He had them down like the palm of his hand, but the actual learning he didn't get. Another answer the Gemara offers is that their learning he learned, but the rabbi's learning he didn't learn. Meaning he got from the students, but he couldn't get close enough to get from the rabbi. Another answer the Gemara says is maybe he learned all kinds of external sources, but our Mishnah he didn't get. Another quote from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, when we'd learn by Rabbi Yoshaya, we'd sit within four footsteps. Everyone tried to get as close as possible. So you take Dalet Amos, which is usually the amount of space an individual gets, and four people would squeeze into that space in order to learn from the rabbi. So everyone wanted to get close to hear what he had to say. So in the space that ordinarily one person stands, four people would stand squished to try to get every word he said. And that's something we have to think about. I always say that you could tell who's American and who's European. When Americans walk into the classroom, they take the back seat. When Europeans walk into the classroom, they take the front seat. So I also grew up in the United States. I also take the back seat. But from this Gemara, we see that it's not supposed to be that way. The closer you get, the better an angle you get, the more you're going to learn. So in Rav Hoshaya's Beis Medrash and his academy, everyone took the front seat, and you'd fit four where ordinarily one would fit. Rebbe says, when we learn Torah by Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, we'd sit in a quarter of that space, meaning one amma, six people. That's how squished they were, each one trying to fit in to hear what Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua said. Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Yoshaya Beribi, the grand rabbi Rabbi Yoshaya, in his generation was like Rabbi Meir in his generation. Just like no one understood Rabbi Meir, no one understood Rabbi Yoshaya. And we discussed this last week or a few weeks ago, that Rabbi Meir was so sharp that he'd say things that were contradictory to halacha, and he proved them right. And he tried to sharpen his students, and he'd tell them, this is mutter. They said, what? That's usher. And he'd say, I'll prove it to you. And he'd finish proving it, and he'd say, oh, you're right. And then he'd say, no, it's usher, and I'll prove it to you. And he'd prove it. And he'd say, oh, you're right. So which one did you mean? And they never got it right. They never could figure out when Rabbi Meir really meant it, and when he was sharpening them. So the halacha isn't like Rabbi Meir in many places. Because he was so smart that the rabbis couldn't figure out when he was serious, when he meant it. So Rabbi Yoshaya in his generation was also so much sharper than the rest of the generation, and that's why the halacha is not like him. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and now after we see how sharp they were and how much the students used to get close and try to hear every word, so Rabbi Yochanan tells us, Liban shel Rishonim, the hearts of the earlier generations, the first generations, Kepitcho shel Ulam, is like the entrance of the Ulam. Vil shel Achonim, in the hearts of the later generations, Kepitcho shel Echal, that's like the entrance to the Heichal. We know that in the temple there was an entrance to the Ulam, which was of lesser holiness, but it was a huge entrance, very high and very, very wide. It was 20 amas wide. So 20 amas, that's about 40 feet wide. You don't make entrances that wide. You don't need 40 feet in order to enter a room. But it was that wide. So Rabbi Yochanan says the earlier generations, their hearts were so wide, wisdom could just go straight in. They were all wisdom. Their physical didn't detain them. They could connect with the wisdom of the Torah directly. And the later generations were already like the entrance to the Heichal, which is a large size entrance, but large within normal size. It's only 10 amas, only 20 feet wide. We say the maximum size for an entrance is 20 feet, 10 amas. So they were within the norm, but they were still the highest size within the norm. The Anu, Rabbi Yochanan says, and we, and this is Rabbi Yochanan, the great Rabbi Yochanan who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud, he says, we, kimlo nakav nekev machatzitkit. We're like when you try to sew a sack, so the hole in the sack where the needle goes through, that's how much we are. That's us, that's Rabbi Yochanan talking about himself. Rishonim, who are the earlier generations, that's Rabbi Akiva. Achonim, who are the later generations, that's Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. Ikadamri, others say, Rishonim, the earlier generations, was Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. Achronim, the later generations, was this grand rabbi, Rabbi Yoshaya. And we, Rabbi Yochanan says, were like the hole that a needle goes through. Amar Abaye, now we're going down a few generations. Abaye says, Vanan, and us, were kisichta beguda legmara. When we try to get the quotes right, we're like trying to stick a peg into the wall. You have a wall, you want to bang a peg in between two boards, you got to bang really hard until you get it in, and you barely get it in. You get it in a drop. Abaye says, this is the great Abaye, who's quoted everywhere. He says, we're like that. That's how we get it when we try to get the Tanai quotes. Amar Rava, Rava says, Ba'anan we ketzbata bekira lesvara. When we try to figure out the reasoning of the laws that our predecessors said, we're like when you have a block of wax and you try to stick your finger into it. You can't stick your finger into it. You walk away, you have a little bit of wax, you barely get in. Rava says that's how we are when we try to say a svara, when we try to say, oh, I know the logic behind this law, that's how much we get right. We're like sticking a finger into a block of wax. Amar Ravashi, so Ravashi who compiled the Babylonian Talmud, the great Ravashi. Anytime the Talmud says something and it doesn't say who it is, that's Ravashi. In the Mishnah it's Rabbi Meir, in the Talmud it's Ravashi in his academy. So Ravashi says, Ananas ketzbata bebira l'shikha. If you have a pit, and you have the pits filled with small, small seeds, and you stick your finger into the seeds, so you have a hole in the seeds, right? You take your finger out, all the seeds fall back in. So Ravashi says that's how we are when we try to remember something. We learn a masechet, we got it. We take our finger out, we go over to the next masechet, we forget everything we just learned. So Ravashi, who compiled the Babylonian Talmud, who most of Halacha is like Ravashi, Ravashi says that's how we remember. So imagine where we are today. So this is the quote. So now, for what we need for Rav Shriya Gaon, that's the quote that we need. But I think it's worth continuing the Gemara a little bit, because the Gemara teaches us a few rules that will help us in all our learning, and in a minute we're going to go up for Arvit. Arvit is 35, mm-hmm. So we'll stop now, and next week there's Lachin. Arvit, the evening prayer.
Not Mara.
Okay.
What?
No. They're both